This morning we continue on in our Dream Home series. And as we start this morning, we start our house with the footer. The footer is the most important part of the house, of our dream home. Now I can say that, but I have to confess something. Just as I confessed a few months ago when we were doing a growing up, down, and out series, growing down, up, and out series, I don't know anything about farming. Well, guess what? I don't know anything at all about building a home. I have to confess, I really didn't even, and I hate to say this, I really didn't even know what a footer was or is until I got the call to do this sermon. And so here I am, but I've been learning a lot. I went over to Brother Ricky's house this week, and we got down and underneath his house, and I saw the footer, and he started teaching me some things. And then the next day, Trent Garland was gracious enough, a good friend of mine, to put me in his truck. And we went around the town of Murray just looking at different homes that were being built, actually footers that were being built. And all of a sudden, I started learning about the importance of the footer. I started realizing and understanding that the footer has to be true and square, and I'm hoping I'm saying everything right. I'm a little nervous about this, but it's true and square, that it has to have a width and depth to it. It has to be below the frost line so it can be on solid ground so that the house will not move. It has to have width so it will stand in one place and won't lean back and forth. And then if we're a little off in the footer at all, it infects the entire house. I hope I got that right. Now, I was just pretty impressed with this footer, and talking to Trent and Brother Ricky, I mean, they are both emphatic in saying the footer is the most important part of the house. And then later on that evening, Trent starts sending me some articles, and I start reading about some different buildings that have fallen. There's a 13-story building that fell in China. There it is right there. You know why that building fell? Bad footer. And so here I am, I'm reading this. And then I continue to read on. And then later on that evening, this happened this past week in Bangladesh. They had an 8-story building fall. You know why? And I continue to read this. I couldn't believe this is a tragic situation. But as I was reading, I just couldn't believe what I was hearing. The whole article was talking about how this building had a bad footer. So right now, about this time, after seeing pictures of both those buildings, talking to Trent and talking to Ricky about the importance of a footer, and coming to the conclusion, it's about 1 o'clock in the morning, I just jump out of bed. And I'm like, man, all these rooms I've spent so much time on thinking about how they should look and why they're so important, they're pointless without a good footer. And at 1 o'clock in the morning, I just wanted to jump out of bed and dig down underneath the house and check out our footer. Now, I didn't do it. I should have. It'd been better this morning, but I didn't do it. Now, with that being said, it just really hit me. And then another thought hit me as well. Is I can be spending so much time with all these other relationships in my life. And yet, if the number one relationship, my relationship with Jesus Christ, is not number one, is not center, is not the foundation of my life and my home for the family, all other relationships are worthless. And boy, that's what we really need to be thinking about this morning. As we think about building relationships with spouses and with children, we need to take time this morning to make sure we're really building our spiritual footer. We're really building our relationship with Jesus Christ. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come to You right now. We give You thanks for how Your Holy Spirit has opened up so many of our hearts to see the wonderful truth about who Your Son is. And we give You thanks for what Your Son has done for us. And Father, laid upon our hearts that we see the importance out of all the relationships we have, that You, the relationship with You, is first and foremost. And let us leave here this morning having a stronger desire to build that relationship and be more intimate with You in everything we do. We ask these things in your name. Amen. Now, as we think about the spiritual footer, I think the first thing you have to ask yourself this morning is, before we think about how to build it, is do you have or do you know what a spiritual footer is? Are you like me and just clueless about it? Now, I have to be honest, I bought my house probably about 7 or 8 years ago. I was single at the time. I didn't have a lot of preference. I walked in there. The house looked cool. I liked the bathroom. I liked the bedroom, the living room. It had a deck. It had a backyard. It had had some nice features to it. I liked some of the appliances. It didn't take me that long. I thought, okay, it's brand new. This looks really cool. Let's make a purchase on it. And next thing you know, I'm buying it. And here I did that whole thing. I looked at all the rooms, and not once did it ever enter my mind to look at the most important thing, the footer. Now, with that being said, maybe that's you today. Maybe you've gotten married and you've thought about your spouse and you married your spouse, and because of the way she or he looked, because of their personality, because of who they are, whatever it might be, but through that process, you never gave it really a thought about the most important relationship within this marriage, and that's the relationship with Jesus Christ. And maybe as you think, and maybe as you've started to come to this church, you're realizing and understanding that, wait a second, the most important relationship that I would have is with my Lord and Savior. And my prayer for you is that if you are lost and not a believer in Jesus Christ, that just as I shot out of bed at 1 o'clock in the morning, seeing the importance of the footer, that the Holy Spirit will open up the eyes of your heart to see the importance of a relationship with Jesus Christ this morning. But yet at the same time, if most of us are Christians in this room, we really have to think about how to build that footer. What does it look like? How do we do this? And I think for us to have a footer, and I think one passage that I really want to camp out on somewhat this morning is Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 8. And we're going to read that. Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 8. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you will talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And as we think about that verse, that's really, I think, a lot of how to build the relationship with Christ. And really how to build the relationship with Christ, and as we can compare it to a footer. See, a footer, if I'm understanding it correctly, it needs to have depth. And then we need to go deep enough where we are on solid ground. We need to have the right width for the house to be strong enough to withstand the storms that's going to be coming away, so it won't lean back and forth. The idea here is that we need to have the depth and width that we are truly trusting and resting in Christ in everything that we do. But in order for us to have the depth and width we need in our personal relationship with Christ, we've got to go deep. We've got to go deep. We've got to communicate in Him, and you've got to be communicating with our Lord and Savior in an intimate way. So what does this look like? Well, if it's a relationship, right? What does it take to really have a good relationship within the home? And in my mind, if we have good relationship with the home, we have a few things going on. We're spending time together. We're talking and communicating. We're making some memories together, and we've got a pretty tight bond. If you've got that in the home where the family's spending time, they're talking, they're making memories, and they've got a strong bond, you've probably got a pretty good home. And at the same time, that's what we're wanting when our relationship with Christ. As much as we want time and communication and making memories with our children and our wife, we should want that same thing with our relationship with Christ. Now, how do we do that? Well, if we compare our relationship with our spouse to the Lord, well, how do we communicate with our spouse on a daily basis? Well, we probably wake up in the morning, and as we get ready to go, maybe we're having a cup of coffee, talking about the day. And then we leave and we go off to work or whatever we're doing. And then there's probably a few text messages throughout the day. Maybe your phone call to check up on things, to maybe pick up something at the store, to maybe talk about something that happened with the kids. And as you continue on, there's just this continual conversation going on throughout the day. It can be small, it can be just short, but it's going on. And then you come home at night and then you have your supper and then you debrief about the day and everything that's happened. And then maybe you put the kids down, you're completely worn out. Maybe you just enjoy each other's presence and just hang out and just relax for a little bit. But the bottom line is, through that entire day, there's probably just communication going on, right? Yet at the same time, if we really want to be intimate, if we want to go deep with our spouse, we probably need more than that, right? We probably need a few date nights. And when we have our date nights, sometimes it's difficult. You got to make, sometimes it feels like there can be something going on every single weekend, right? To really just find a way to get a Friday or Saturday night or just one night where it's free. It's difficult, right? And then on top of that, you got to pay for a babysitter. There's expenses. It can be difficult. But yet at the same time, the sacrifice, if the wife and the husband are really important and it's a priority, you want that time. You are going to fight for that time so that you can share and communicate, turn off the cell phone, and just enjoy each other. Just talk about how we're doing. And yet, even if we go to a more extreme, sometimes if we really want to build a relationship, we're just going to take a few days off, maybe take a vacation where we can just enjoy each other, encourage each other, and just have a good time. And just refreshing for the relationship. And I would argue it's the same way with our relationship with the Lord. That if the Lord is truly the spiritual footer of our dream home, if He is truly number one in our lives, there should be constant communication going on every single day with Him. That when we wake up, we're praying, we're calling out to Him. Maybe when you're driving down the road, you have praise and worship music going on. Maybe you have a sermon going on. Maybe throughout the day, you're sending out some just short, quick prayers to the Lord to help you through a situation at work or a situation at the home with the kids. Maybe at the end of the day, you come home and just spend some time with Him through prayer and have a nightly prayer, whatever it might be. And so you can have this constant communication going on throughout the day, which is good. And I would argue, no matter what type of family you come from, a husband and wife is probably having that communication going on throughout the day. And I would argue probably a lot of Christians are having that communication going on throughout the day with the Lord. Most of them say, yeah, we're communicating somewhat with Him. Yeah, we're calling out to Him. But yet, as a husband and wife, sometimes it's tough to find time to make those date nights happen. And yet, how much more is it tough for us to be intimate and have that quantity and quality time with the Lord? It's difficult. We have to fight for that time. But if He's truly number one, we will make time to be with Him. Now, the excuses can start coming, right? I'm just so busy. I understand that I need to spend time with Him, right? Yet at the same time, you don't know my schedule. I've got 18 kids in the house. You don't know my schedule. I've got a foot of bills waiting to be paid. My boss is not going to give me grace. And then we can have all these things going on. We're just like, I've got to take care of this right now. And if I don't, it's all going to fall apart. And we can just live within the moment at the same time, knowing that God is just over here. We'll deal with Him later. We'll talk to Him later. We'll talk to Him on Sunday morning. We'll talk to Him tomorrow. And just completely neglecting the relationship. But you know, if we're really going deep with this, we're commanded and called to be with Him. In Joshua chapter 1, for Joshua gets his commissioning, what does it say? That the law of the word shall not depart from you day or night. In Deuteronomy 17, it talks about how kings are called to write their own copy of the word of God and read it day and night. Psalm chapter 1 talks about the man who's firmly rooted in his faith. He meditates on the word of God day and night, and it's a delight to him. We see Jesus in the Gospels. He's fighting for his time with the Lord. If he has to get up before dawn, if he has to spend all night praying, he's doing it because there's a desire to be with his Heavenly Father and be intimate with Him. And I would argue, no matter what our situation is, we fight for that time. We make it a priority to build that spiritual footer. It's worth it towards our spouse. It's worth it towards our children and everybody we come in contact with to have that intimate, deep time with the Lord. And you know what? I know how it is. It's busy. We have all these different things going on. But you know, I play that same card as well a lot. I'm so busy. You know what's interesting about me? I'm a big sports fan. Somehow I just find time. I'll probably find time to watch a ball game or two. How did I do that? Somehow, I've already confessed, I've watched a few Cardinal games this year. A baseball game's pretty long. How did I find time to do that? You know what's also interesting about me? I really enjoy my family. I've got an office in my house, and I can wake up and I have all this pressure going on. I've got to do all these different things. And then I hear this little plip-plap. This little one-year-old baby start crawling into my office, and I forgot to close the door, and he groups up and he smiles really big. You know what? No matter what's going on, all of a sudden I can just find 5 or 10 minutes to be with him. All of a sudden, I start talking to my wife, want to be with her, and I'm just in love with her. I'm thinking, you know what? All that stuff can just wait. I just want to be with her. It's just amazing how we can really find time for people and things that are really important to us. And the question is the Lord important to you in your life right now? Are you genuinely making time to go deep with him? I don't care if you have to pay a babysitter to watch your kids while you go have time alone with God. If you have to do that, go do it. It is worth it to the entire family to truly be intimate with the Lord. But another reason that can stop us from doing this, and it's a lot of men, me included, well, I don't like to read. It's tough to read, right? One, I don't think anybody in this room really doesn't like to read. Okay, if it's something that we're interested in, we like to read. I've heard that UK basketball has the best recruiting class in the history of the game, right? I don't know. I haven't really heard anybody at all when it comes to reading articles about that recruiting class saying, I just don't like to read. I just don't want to read that. It's just, I don't want to deal with it. I hate reading. I don't hear anybody when it comes to maybe getting a bonus, they're getting it at work hearing, well, I don't want to just read about that bonus. It's just too tough. It's got too many terms. I don't hear very many people talking about when they receive a love letter from their husband or wife saying, I just don't really want to read that right now. No, if we really genuinely care about the subject, the topic, about the person, we want to read about it. We want to read about that person. And I know it's difficult, but it's worth it. Proverbs 2 talks about how the word of God, if you seek it like silver, if you search for it like a hidden treasure, you will find the knowledge of God and understand the fear of God. The point here is that sometimes it can feel like you're searching for a hidden treasure. It's hidden. It's hard to find sometimes when you're reading these books. But at the same time, when you find it, when you find the treasure, you realize and understand it's so much more valuable than any gold, any silver, any dollar amount at all of truly knowing and experiencing the Lord. And all of a sudden, when that happens, when you're really going deep, when you're really going intimate, when you have that width you have with the relationship of the Lord, the result of that is it changes the entire house. And all of a sudden, it's what Deuteronomy talks about. Because you're loving the Lord, your God, with all your heart, soul, and mind, you just can't help but talk. You just can't help but want to teach. You just can't help but want to just informal, formal times, you want to talk about the Lord. And let me tell you something. A house that has truly made Jesus the true number one spiritual footer in a house, it just looks different. You know, one of the first times I've experienced this, this has been several years ago. I was with some friends that I love and cherish to death, and they're a little older than me, and they're just starting their marriage. They had, I don't know, 1 year old or 3 year old, 2 year, and the kids were really young, 2 boys. And we walk in their house, and I'm just talking to them, enjoying the time, having good fellowship with them. And they say, would you like to join us for supper? It's like, sure. I was just so encouraged the entire time we were eating. It wasn't like there was anything profound going on. There was laughter going on. The kids were a little wild. We were just having a good time. But it was encouraging. And it was just, you could just feel the joy of the Lord there. And they said, well, would you like to stay a little bit afterwards? We're going to have a family devotional. And at the time, I've never even heard of what a family devotional is. I have no idea. I'm feeling a little awkward. How are we going to have a little devotional with a 2 year old and a 4 year old? How's this going to look? What's this going to look like? And so here they are. After supper, they get a pillow out, this big, long pillow, and they pull it out. And they say it's the worship pillow. So they put the 2 year old and the 4 year old, and they sit down on this worship pillow. And they start reading some scripture to him, talking to scripture. They sing this little hymn together. They get this little missionary book out. And they open it up, and it was a kid get to pick one of the countries, and I think the country was in Africa, and they had these little animals about Africa, and they started talking about the zebras and the lions. And then they had this picture of this missionary, and then they read about the missionary, and they started praying for the missionary. You know, it wasn't anything profound, but you can just tell the mom and dad, the husband and wife, Christ was center. He was number one, and it was overflowing to how they were treating their kids at the supper table, how they were treating each other, and what they wanted to talk about after supper. And I just left that night just experiencing a family where they're just loving each other like Christ loves the church, and church, the church is called to love Christ, and at the same time how it's overflowing to their children and what they do and what they say. And you know what? I left not hearing a profound sermon, not experiencing something grand, just a small little devotional of seeing how Christ is a spiritual footer in that house. It just made me want to repent and follow and worship him. And that's what we should strive for, is to truly just strive to truly know him and understand him in an intimate way and let it be overflowing, that spiritual footer overflowing throughout the entire house. Now, if we're really doing this, if we're taking time with the Lord, if we're talking to the Lord and talking about the Lord with others, the result is we should make some memories. We should make some memories with the Lord. You know, and when I think about memories, I think about pictures. Whatever good memories we have usually in our house, it's usually on a wall, right? And I know I'm jumping a little bit on the construction of the home, but when any house you walk into, right, you start seeing what people are really passionate about. Maybe there's a picture with a famous celebrity or athlete. Maybe there's a big deer on the wall. Maybe there's a whole bunch of pictures of grandchildren or children. You know what else we need on our walls? Scripture. When we take a look at that Deuteronomy passage, it talks about writing scripture on the doorpost. This is just for us in our household. We take that literally. We have a chalkboard in our house that we write down a verse every single week, and it's called the Lawrence Family Verse of the Week. And we go through about a verse or two in Proverbs every single week. And then the goal here is that we started this right when we found out we were pregnant with Graham, and we've done. And the goal here is that we'll go through the entire book of Proverbs from the time he was born until he's age 16. We were going to cover the entire book, and we just pray through that verse when we lay him down at bed tonight. And we walk him up and show him the verse, not every day, but on a lot of days. We just talk about that verse. You know, another thing we do, we have Joshua chapter 1, verses 9, written on his wall. It talks about being strong and courageous in the Lord. And the goal here is, it's not to sit there, yes, you need to, that's just not the only way. There can be different things. But what we're trying to do, just as when I look at a picture from a vacation when I was a little boy, I can remember things. I can remember a trip to Colorado, and I see that picture in my parents' house, and I can immediately feel the temperature in Colorado. I can immediately feel going whitewater rafting and feeling how cold that water was. I can remember the food. I can remember the culture. I can remember everything. Well, what we want to do in our home, if we truly want Christ to be a spiritual footer, we want to paint pictures. We want to have pictures on our walls in such a way, and we're teaching them and living them out in such a way where it brings memories to our children. And as we take our steps of faith, as we teach our children, as we teach each other the Word of God, and as the Word of God is written on our heart in such a way, the hope here is that those memories will help us be strong and courageous in the Lord. And those memories were sparked, and remember, just as you remember your family as you look back at that picture, that you remember who you are in the Lord, and you remember your Lord every time you look back to that picture of Scripture at your house. And you know, I'll be honest with you, this is something, and I look back at my own son right now, and as I read him Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, and it talks about being strong and courageous in the Lord, you know, he doesn't know what I'm saying. He just turned 1 year old. But as I'm reading to it, you know what my hope is? My fear is this, and my concern is this. What in the world is the world going to be like when he's 18 years old? What's it going to be like when he's my age and he's 33 years old? And I almost start wanting to weep, thinking about the sexual temptation that there's no really way he's going to be able to avoid living in America. And then I also have this fear as well. He might not be able to preach like his daddy. in a country where it's free to be able to do it. It might cost him, and he might have to suffer. But my goal and my hope is that hoping to make Christ the spiritual footer of our house is that we have pictures in his mind and his heart that when that young boy comes to Christ, the result will be is that here in the midst of a trial, here in the midst of a temptation, that he remembers back to Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, and he can be strong and courageous in the Lord. He can believe that the Lord will be with him wherever he goes, and that picture reminds him of who he is. That's our goal, is that we're living in such a way that when it comes to the temptation, when it comes to the trial, when it comes to whatever issue is coming our way, the result is we're reminded about who our God is. We're reminded about who we are in God, and we live in such a way that as much as we don't want to sin against our family, we ultimately do not want to sin against our God, and we stay faithful to him. Now, at the same time, as we think about this, and we're really meditating and praying and calling out to God and building that relationship with him, you know what? We need reinforcement. I didn't even know what rebar was this week, or is this week. And I learned it's reinforcement for that footer. You know what? We need reinforcement. We need the church. In that home, I need Brandy, and I hope Brandy needs me, that we can continue to encourage each other. And you know what? We need people outside our home to give us the support we need. Each and every single one of us are going to have things in our life. Maybe small, maybe big. We're going to be like that concrete and it's going to crack. And we're going to feel at certain moments of our life where we can't go on and we're going to crack any second. You know, we had one of those moments about last year at this time when Graham was born. First week was great because Brandy's mom was at the house. Second week was great because my mom's at the house. I'll be honest. When I first, the moms wanted to get in the picture, I thought, oh, he won't need them. You know, then after we had Grandma, like, please stay as long as you want. Now, after they both left, here we are with me and Brandy trying to figure out what we're doing. We're exhausted. We're tired. We don't know what we're doing. And then I put my foot in my mouth and I say, are we sure we're right on the right schedule with this kid? Both of us being completely exhausted, stressed out about how to deal with this three-week-old baby. And then in here, all of a sudden, Brandy just being worn out and tired. It's like, I don't know. And then these big crocodile tears start coming out, thinking, what did I do? What did I say? And so we're having this dilemma about if we're doing the right thing, if Graham's on the right schedule, of all these different things. And we both feel like we're just getting ready to crack. And then I remember her calling a good friend, a lady that's a few years older than her, that's been in this position, and just sending a text. And they started texting back and forth. And that lady started giving her the truth that we both needed to hear at that moment, and giving us some encouragement as well. And all of a sudden, even though we felt like we were going to crack, we had that reinforcement to hold us together. And if we're going to make Christ the spiritual footer in our house, if we're going to continue to grow in him, we not only need to be intimate with him, we need to be intimate with others that are going to encourage us in our walk with the Lord. And that doesn't just mean coming here on Sunday or Wednesday night. It means having genuine fellowship, genuine community throughout the week. And with all that being said, you know, probably a majority of us in here right now, this isn't anything really profound, what I've said this morning. This isn't any really big spiritual truth that just revelation, you know, just something new. It's probably a lot of us have heard several times. But with that being said, this is a warning. Are we really living it out and applying these things? Are we really going deep in our relationship with the Lord? Are we really genuinely making time to pray and call out to him? As if we're not, we could be having cracks right now coming up our walls. And my concern here is that we could fall hard if you're not careful. You know what I've learned about footers this week? You can have two homes that are both built in an immaculate way, just absolutely stunning. And one home can have a good footer, and one home can have a bad footer, and you can't tell the difference. But yet when the storm comes, the one with a bad footer will fall. And here's the point, is that you can look like you're a strong Christian right now. You can fool everybody in this room. But if you are genuinely not serving the Lord and being deep and intimate with Him, calling out to Him, spending time with Him, when the storm of life occurs, you will fall. There's people in this room that are holding sin within. That you're mad, you walk by First Fruits Farm and you're mad and bitter because you look at other families that have children and you can't have children right now. There's people in this room that are mad and bitter because you look at families and you compare yourself and you wish you had some of the things that they had. There's people in this room that might be just struggling with pornography. There's people in this room that could be struggling with a variety of different sins. And you're not dealing with it, and you're not going deep, and you're not calling out and crying out to the Lord. And the result of it is that the sin, attack of sin is getting ready to destroy you and your family. And I will warn you of this, no matter how long you've been here, and that the stronger the leader you are in this church, the warning is this, is that when you fall, it just doesn't affect you. It affects many people. You know those buildings that we showed earlier? They didn't just affect a few people. But because of their size, because of how big and noticeable they were, they affected hundreds, if not thousands, of lives. And if you're not right with the Lord and going deep with Him in a personal and intimate way, you're getting ready to fall hard. Fall hard in a way that won't just affect you, but affect others, maybe others for generations to come. Boy, we need to take this warning seriously. Yet at the same time, hear me loud and clear, that no matter if you have fallen, the good news is there's still hope. That's going to be messy, but it's going to help. I asked Trina, I was like, so what happens if you have a house that has a really bad footer? Can it be fixed? He's like, yeah, but you're going to get your hands dirty. And you know what? That's exactly right. No matter where you've come from, no matter how you've fallen, if you've fallen hard, this is the honest truth. It's going to be messy and difficult to deal with all that garbage. But you know what? We serve a God who's in the business of taking people that are wretched and using them in mighty ways. We serve a God who took someone who denied Him 3 times on the most important day in the history of civilization and then used Him later again to preach a sermon in which 3,000 people came to Christ. We serve a God who took Saul, who was wanting to kill Christians, and transformed them in such a way we became the greatest missionary of all time. We serve a God that has taken men and women and continues to radically change their lives and use them in a mighty way. We serve a God that has the strongest spiritual footer. We serve a God that went to a cross, and that foundation and the footer of that cross was firm and it was strong, and He took the wrath on that cross. But what He did on that cross, the result is this, is that if we truly have Jesus as the most important relationship in our life, we now truly can experience our dream home now and in the kingdom to come. And the result of this is that when we truly, genuinely are putting Christ first, and He is what is keeping us together, He is the number one relationship. This is the truth. Now and in life to come, we are a part of a home that no matter what storm comes, no matter what attack comes, no matter what war comes, the house will stand firm. And the result of that is, the more that we hold on to that, the more we believe in that, when life issues come, when the attacks of sin come, it doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but we can withstand the storm. We can withstand the attack. And we can long toward we will have the dream home where we will live in paradise and rest and be secure with Christ forever. But if we do not have that, we will fall hard like those buildings. Where are you today? Where are you? You've heard all these things before. But But no matter how long you've been here, are you genuinely, intimately in love with the Lord and committed to the Lord? And is He number one in your life right now? And is it shown by you wanting to be deep and intimate with Him? And if that is happening in your life, you're saying amen right now to me. But if it's not happening in your life, you might be making excuses. And what I plead and beg with you right now is don't make any excuse. Make it the number one priority to be intimate with Him. He's worth it. Let's pray. Father, we come to You right now and we just give You thanks. Boy, we just ask that You have Your hand upon us. We ask that by being intimate with You, that we will put on the spiritual armor of God, and You will protect us from the storms of life and the attacks of sin that are coming our way. Father, let us hold firm and be deep and intimate with You, and let You be the true spiritual footer of our dream homes. We love You and ask these things in Your name. Amen.